apart from you for days. So I'm just glad to be in his house. I'm glad to be with the family. This morning I spoke and I preached about truth. And I want to just expound upon truth because I feel like it's something that's missing in a lot of people's lives. And one of the things that I've realized in life is that you have to be truthful, but you have to be truthful to yourself first and foremost. Many people are stuck in a world of just absolute denial. And so I want to preach tonight on truth. And let's go to Psalms chapter 51. And we are going to look first at verse 6. And it says, "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts." Dear God, I thank you, Lord, for every person, God, that hears this message, Lord, for the ones that hear it on Facebook Live, on our website, God, on our app. Lord, I thank you, Father God, right now that the word, God, it falls on good ground. Lord, that ground receives your word. Lord, that it changes them forever. God, I thank you, Lord, right now for breakthrough in each person's life. God, for provision. God, for healing. Lord, I thank you that you're making a way. God, I thank you for every single thing, Lord, that you're doing, God. And we praise you, Lord, and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, I've learned in life that you have to be honest with yourself. You have to learn how to just keep it real. You got to be real, and you got to keep it real. And it's hard to do. So many times, you know, we'll say, we'll have a disagreement with somebody, or we'll have an issue with somebody, and we'll know we've done wrong. Most of the time, we know we do wrong almost instantly. And then you'll sit on it for 30, 40 minutes, or a day, a week, a decade, years, and you'll get to realizing you'll want to make excuses for yourself. The longer you sit on something without just being honest with yourself, the harder it's going to be to make that right. Now, what I would like to happen right now is I would like for Carson Paul to come up here and sit over here by the deacon. That never hurt me when I was growing up. If you're looking on Facebook Live, I'm not a mean mama, but I'm a mama that's going to just demand honor in God's house. If you won't train your children up, if you won't correct them, guess what will happen? Somebody will correct them and you won't like it. Amen? So, Psalms 51, verse 6. "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place." There's a place that God has for you in his relationship. Many people never get there because they won't take the time to get in the presence of God. They won't take the time to get into his word until the word gets into them. Let me tell you something. This right here, this is what you need. You got to get into the word. If you don't get into the word, when hard times come, you won't have anything to stand on. This is a necessity. And it says, "Surely you desire that truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart." Create in me a pure heart. A lot of times when I look at my shenanigans and I look at the stuff that I've pulled and the things that I've done that I'm ashamed of, what I see was wrong motives. What I see is that heart of mine wasn't clean like it should have been. And here's David, and David knew when his heart was not in alignment with what he was supposed to have in there. And so he says, "God, create that pure heart in me. Create it. Create it, God, because it ain't there." We live in a day and age where lots of people, we like to make excuses for why we are the way we are. My mama didn't give me enough cookies. My mama gave me too many cookies. the babysitter pinched me. It just goes on and on. Now, that's a few little, tiny little things, but you get the point. The truth is, we are responsible for the condition of our heart. Nobody else. Nobody else. Several years ago, I had heard something that somebody had done to one of my family members. And I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nothing get me in the flesh worse than somebody do something to my family. You hear me? Oh. Now, I have really cooled down a lot over the years. God has cooled me down. I'm still hot-headed, but I'm not as bad as I used to be. But let me tell you something. Somebody do something to my family, I'll be from normal to psycho in just about 2 seconds. And 2 seconds is a long time in that scenario. But what I'm learning is, you know what, God? Give me that clean heart. I don't got it. I heard something that somebody did to my family. And you know, here's how I am. I don't know about y'all, but I fight with my family. Y'all ever fight with your family? Okay. I'm glad we don't got any untruthful people in the church tonight. If you're on Facebook, I'm sure you fight with your family, do we all do. And I fight with them all I want to, but Kayla ain't nobody else better mess with them. I'll get them. And I heard something somebody did to one of my family members. And let me tell you something. Instantly, I was thinking, well, what can I do to them? Now, can you keep it real? Can you say to yourself, now, a few years ago, I would have never admitted up to that. Why? Because I don't want everybody knowing all my dirt. But you know what? That's how I keep myself straight now. I'll just tell it. Because usually that'll help people. And I meditated on that, and I knew God wasn't happy with me for feeling that way. And I began to just pray, and I said, God, what is wrong with me? And he said, you know what, Kelly? You're making other people's sin make you sin. You're making other people's sin. You're letting other people's sin make you sin. See, that person that hurt you, the person that hurt your family, they done wrong. And now what they did is making you do wrong. And I've worked on that. I've worked on it. A few years ago, I was driving down the road. And I was with my dad, and I've learned a lot from him. I've learned so much from him. And he's not a very good faker. Neither am I. We don't fake. And when we're trying to fake, it's even worse than if we just be out with it. I mean, we're not good fakers at all. And usually you can tell how we are because we're going to let it hang out. And he was in a terrible mood, and I was thinking, oh, gosh, I got to be around him today. He's in that sour mood. Oh, boy. You know, and we're no fun to be around when we're in a bad mood. You ever notice that? Sister Millie's like, yep. Pastor Jeremy's right there with you, Mama. And so we were driving down the road, and he just stopped. And I thought, oh, my gosh, he's really going to pull a doozy, because now we're stopping. Now we're going to really have a moment. And he stopped, and he just began to pray. He said, God, I'm not in the right spirit. God, I don't have a good attitude. God, help me. Help me get in the right spirit. And so, verse 10, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew, y'all say renew, a steadfast spirit within me, a constant spirit. You know, you have to work sometimes to be at your best. You don't just wake up and everything be all peachy keen all the time. Sometimes you got to work at being that good person that you want to be. Sometimes you got to work at being that mama, that daughter, that wife, that believer, that child of God. Because you know what? Some days we wake up and we want to show out. Barbara, you ever want to show out? I do. Sometimes I just want to show out. And what we have to do is we just have to say, you know what, God? Create in me a pure heart. And God, help me because I got a bad attitude. I got a bad attitude. And I tell that to my son all the time. He used to come home And I'm so glad they didn't do this to us when we were kids, because it would have been awful. But they kind of give these children these colors at school, and I don't like those colors. It's great when your kid gets great, or green, or blue, or purple, but by golly, when they start getting orange and all of that, that's stressful. And I would tell Carson, I would say, you know what, Carson? Why did you get an orange today? He would say, I have no idea. I would say, well, can you think back to a moment that you got on your teacher's nerves? You say, yeah, I think I got it. I'd say, okay, Carson. There was a moment before that, and you got to learn how to rein yourself in before you get out too far. When you feel like you're having one of them moments and you're showing out, know that you're about to get that bad color. You need to rein yourself in, or you're going to get a bad color. That's the same thing with us. There are times when I'm right in the middle of a moment, and I know I'm in that moment. I know I'm doing wrong, and I know that there's a choice in that moment. Either draw myself back and get a hold of myself, or go full blown out. There are times where, some of you women might understand this a little bit better than the men. I got some real go-getters in the audience, so I'm sure you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. You ever been in an argument with your husband? And you having that argument, and it has gone on for a long time. Sometimes I'm like, gosh, I just got hungry. We've been arguing? Hold on, Jeremy. And then sometimes I'm like, what are we arguing about? I forgot. See, learn how to rein yourself in. Rein yourself in. You ever been in an argument and you forgot what it was you was even arguing about? That's just the devil trying to get us to keep on arguing, keep on having strife, keep on keeping on. We have to learn how to be truthful. How to be truthful. And so it says here in verse 11, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And when I can look back at some of my worst moments, what I see is that I just wasn't willing to do the right thing. Just wasn't willing. Sometimes we're just not willing to do what it really takes to give God his way. And when you find yourself in those times in your life, what you need to do is you just need to do exactly what David said. Pause. Stop. Say, Lord, I got off. You ever notice how Brother Tommy, he'll get up here? If he didn't hit that music just right, he'll just say, hold on. Start that again. See, it's never too late to start again. It's never too late to begin again. Amen. It's when you keep on going and you know it ain't right. You knew it wasn't right 5 miles ago, but you kept on. Last Thanksgiving, Pastor Jeremy and I, we were on our way back home from St. Louis. And one of my favorite things to do when we go on a trip is, if I'm going to have vacation, see, I don't really have to go anywhere to be on vacation. The only thing that I have to do to really feel like I had a vacation was eat out. Every single meal I can possibly conjure up in that amount of time that I can. So we were hitting every stop. And the last stop on the trip for me was McAllister's. I love sandwiches. I love their sandwiches. Could I make a sandwich at home? Yes. Would it ever taste the same? No. And I said, Jeremy, I'm going to put this address in my phone, and we're going to go to McAllister's. This is the last thing we're going to eat. I ran that man rugged. probably gained 20 pounds over the Thanksgiving break. Here we are, and we got up in the rich people houses. And I was like, my gosh, these rich people, they got their own McAllisters up in their neighborhood. I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, help me. I want a McAllisters up in my neighborhood right by the house. Jeremy goes, what? He really puts up with some stuff for me. He goes, are you sure you put that right address in? I said, I am positive. Keep going. We kept going. 30 minutes later, I was starting to realize I was wrong. I said, just turn around. Forget it. I don't have to eat McAllister's because clearly we are not on our way to McAllister's. I don't know where we are going. But these houses keep getting bigger, and the cars keep getting nicer, and there's no way we're going to McAllister's. And this is what Jeremy said. He said, at this point, I want to see where your crazy phone is taking us. So we're going to stick this out. Now look here. Jeremy is a saint. But let me tell you something. The moment that you get off, and you know it, turn around. Yes. Turn around. The problem isn't when you get off. The problem is when you know it and you keep on doing it. You know it and you keep going. Don't be so prideful that you say, no, I'm doing right. No. I looked here, I said, look here, baby. I was wrong about that McAllister's. That McAllister's ain't out here. Learn how to just say, you know what, God, I have got some filth up in this heart. God, create in me a pure heart. God, and most of all, Lord, make me willing to do the right thing. So many times it's a matter of willingness. We don't want to do God's will. I talk to a lot of people and I say, well, what do you want? What do you want out of life? Almost every time, you know what they say, Brother Charlie? I just want God's will. I just want his will. Most time, God will show you what his will is, and we're going, no. God, that couldn't possibly be you. That's uncomfortable. God, that couldn't be you because you know I don't like that person. I want to keep on not forgiving them. We have to learn how to just be real with it. Be real with it. Do not cast from me your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. To sustain me. Psalm 139. I think I'm competing with that little fella in the back. And he's a lot cuter than me. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. You know, the heart is the most deceitful thing that we have. Oh, I hate when people say, just follow your heart. I'm going, don't do that. Your heart will get you up in some stuff. Your heart will get you up in some trouble. Because if you're anything like me, there's been times where I thought, you know, God, if you'll just do this, if you'll just give me this, or if you'll do that, God, I'll be happy. I waited for a couple years for something to come through. And I kept saying, God, if that'll happen, I'll be happy. And I postponed what I thought was happiness because I was waiting on such and such. I opened my mail one day. There was what I had been waiting for 2 years. I was rip-roaring mad. You know why? Because I realized there was something up in that heart that still wasn't right. I opened that mailbox, got my piece of mail that I had waited on for 2 years. And I said, God, there's something seriously wrong with me because I've waited on this for 2 years and I'm still just mad as a hornet. God, I got a screw loose and I don't know which one. God, I need help. And I'll take it a step further. There are things in us we don't even realize that they're there. But whatever God reveals, God can heal it. Whatever He'll reveal in your life, God can heal it. I started going to Celebrate Recovery. I did not think that I needed that. I thought, I don't have any problems. Went there for a little bit. And I thought, I went in my house one night, shut the bedroom door, just had a crying. Just let it all come out. I said, God, I feel bad because now I know I have problems, and now I feel like I have more problems than all them people put together. Now what? And God just began to work. You ever seen a meat tenderizer? Well, we had one of those growing up, and it looks kind of like a hammer. And I always thought, what is this? I just thought it was what I needed to beat Casey with. And I'll tell you what. God will tenderize parts of you that got so hard. And when He does, you'll change some things. God will soften you up. I heard a few days ago that the person that had caused me a lot of grief was hurting. And you know what I did, Angel? I just stopped right where I was, and I said, God, in Jesus' name, help that person. God, if they're hurting because of something that they've done to me, Lord, I ask that You'd not let them suffer not one more moment. Because, God, You've been too good to me for me to have that filth up in that heart. We just have to keep it real. We have to keep it real, and we have to be real. We have to live in truth, because the devil is constantly trying to get us to live in a state that we don't know what truth is. We don't know if we're up or if we're down, if we're here or if we're there. Keep your heart in check. When you get off, say, God, I got off. Help me get back on the right track. So in Psalm 139 and verse 23, it says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The other day I was driving down the road and I said, God, if there's anything in my life that's offensive to You, I ask that You'd show it to me. You ever been real good and offended at somebody? Raise your hand. I want to see who's truthful tonight. Well, you can always tell when somebody's offended at you, and I'll tell you how. You'll see them, and they'll nearly kill themselves not to look at you. I've nearly hit several walls being offended. Let me tell you what. Being offended makes you act silly. You'll be over here, and everything's going on over here, and you don't care because you are going to make a point. You're going to look over here because they're right there. Ask God. Say, Daddy God, is there anything in me that's offending You? Is there anything in my life that You want me to change and I'm being hard about it? See if there is any offensive way in me, God, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's go to Psalms 145, verse 18. And it says, The Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him. So many people think that God is mad at them and that he's far off. God's not mad at you. And God didn't go on a vacation to New Mexico. He's right there. He's right there. And so it says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. In truth. See, it's one thing to call on God. He wants you to call on him. But when you call on him, can you call on him in a state of truth? A lot of people say, God, get old Sally Sue because she's terrible. I've prayed those prayers before. I'm not going to lie. And those prayers, they had to change because they were ineffective the way that they were. They were ineffective because there was no truth in those. We have to learn when we pray, pray truth. When you're calling on God, call on him in truth. So many times we're caught up in an offense. We're caught up in what somebody did to us. We're caught up in how that thing went wrong. Well, God knows the whole situation. There have been so many things, Kayla, over the past 3 years that God's had to correct. I would say, now, God, you know what that person done. You know what I began to hear? Yeah, and I know what you did too, Kelly. And I know what you did too. And then I started to really see something strange, Aunt Patty. I started to see what I did more than I saw what they did. That's when breakthrough comes. When you can look at somebody that you think done you wrong, somebody that hurt you, and you could say, God, I'm no longer concerned about what I think that they did. God, help me and forgive me for what I did. Help me and forgive me for the wrong that I did. Because, God, I've let their sin make me sin. And, God, I love you so much. God, I don't want to sin. God, I don't want to sin against you. And it says, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. But all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 23. And I spoke this morning about a situation that I had with my child. Where is the little darling? Right over there. You know, I always thought I was real spiffy and smart when I was growing up. And I realize now that paybacks are real terrible. Because I'm going to tell you something. I asked my kid 37 times. The truth about something, and I got 37 answers, different. I got my dad on the phone, and I said, Dad, now I'm not there. I want you to look at him, and you're there. You look at him, and you tell me. Because Dad could always tell when I was lying. I said, are you looking at him? Do you have him on the phone? Put him on speakerphone. I want to talk to Carson Paul. And he gets him on there. And he tells me a million different things. I thought, this is so confusing. I said, put the other kids on the phone. What do they got to say? Guess what? More different answers. I said, Mike, and I want to know if Carson walked to the middle of the pond on the ice where he could have died. Mike goes, well, he looked at the pond. I said, Daddy, ask him again. Mike goes, Aunt Kelly, he just went to the edge of the pond. I called Dad back. I said, ask Macken again. He definitely went to the middle of the pond, Aunt Kelly. I'm looking at Carson and I'm going, now Carson, I want to know, did you go to the middle of the pond? Look here, I still haven't gotten a straight answer. You know why? Because there's still something up in there that thinks he can benefit from not being truthful. And I said, Carson, Mama goes to the jail every week. And I hear this stuff all day long. I said, let me tell you something. I'm going to pray for you for that spirit of truth to come up in there, because it ain't up in there. Now look here. He's 9. I know 59-year-olds doing the same thing. Doing the same thing. You'll say, why did you do such and such? Well, you ask him again. Look here. The bottom line is this right here. I always like to know the bottom number. If I'm buying something, I said, I don't want your mumbo jumbo. What I want to know is, what is the bottom line? What's that bottom number? Bottom line. If you won't be honest with yourself, you can't go any further than that right there. God requires truth from his kids. And sometimes when we're having trouble and we can't have a breakthrough, what it is we're still making up excuses for why we done what we did. And you know, I've only been a parent for 9 years. Parenting is the hardest thing that I've ever done. Can I get an amen? And I'm constantly going, God, help me not to mess these kids up beyond repair. Lord, am I doing okay? Because God, I know these were your kids before you gave them to me. Please help me to do a good job. And my dad called me yesterday. He said, well, what did you do? And I said, well, here's how it went down. I said, you know what, Carson? I don't know what you did because I wasn't there. But what I can tell you is this right here. Two things. Number one, God was there, and he knows. And number two, I don't care if you walked on the pond, if you looked at the pond, if you went to the edge of the pond or the middle of the pond. You was at the pond. And you're always told not to be by the pond. So for that reason, you in trouble. For that reason. And you know, there's so many times where we're going, God, now I know I did such and such, but look what they did. Look what they did. And God, this person, they've done this, and their life is just fine. They've never repented for this. They've never done this. We can't afford to look at anybody else. When we're trying to live our best life, what we can't afford to do is look at anybody else. Because look here, what do we tell our children? I don't care what they did. I care what you did, because you're mine. So John chapter 4, verse 23, and it says, yet a time is coming and is now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father speaks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. There's many times where I pray and I just say, God, I'm just going to be real with you. I'm having a trouble doing the right thing. Because God, there's something up in me that wants to not do the right thing in this situation. See, can you just tell God exactly how it is? He already knows it, but do you know it? Have you ever started talking to somebody, and as you talked, you said something that you just needed to hear your own self say? There's been a lot of times where I've just been talking to somebody, and I've said something. A while back, I was in the car with my dad, and he was complimenting me on, he said, "Well, Kelly, you always look sharp. You've always been a sharp dresser." And I said, "You know, I learned that from so-and-so." And I said, "And I learned a lot of things good from that person. And I'm to a different point where I can now say so many things good about that person." If you'd asked me 2 or 3 years ago, I would have been like, not one good thing. You know what? I could now say more good. There's very little bad. You know why? Because I'm really not concerned with what's negative about them. I got myself where myself needs to be, where God wants me to be. That's all that matters. Does it matter what they did? Not really. Not anymore. Why? Because it ain't holding me back. Was it holding me back before? Tremendously. Tremendously. I said, "Oh, you know what? So-and-so taught me that. We used to go shopping together. They used to help me match this stuff up together. She helped me in ways that I still use today." And he looks at me, he goes, "Oh my God, did you just say something positive about that person?" I said, "I sure did. Look at me changing and stuff." But look here, if you'll just give God all the cards, give him all the cards. When my children and I, we play Uno sometimes every once in a while. I'm not a very good card player. Uno's just about at my capacity. We'll get to playing Uno, and my kids, they think they're real slick. They'll try to cheat. A lot of times that's what we do with God. We'll say, "God, here's this, this, and this of my life. But God, I'm going to hold this thing back because I'm not ready to give it to you." You can't give God only 4 of the 5 cards. Give him all of them. Say, "God, you've got the right to have every piece. Every piece of it." John chapter 8, verse 31. And it says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples.'" So many people aren't holding to anything, let alone holding to actual truth. The devil tries to muddy up waters. You ever met somebody that you know they're telling a lie, but they tell it so good because they actually believe it? "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Truth sets you free every single time. Every time. Truth does not have a failure rate. It'll set you free. The devil tries to put us in a state where we want to defend ourselves, where we want to justify the wrong things that we've done or the wrong things that we want to do. What we got to realize is that, you know what? God, I'm just going to be real with you. There's stuff in there I don't want in there. Last place for me, John chapter 17, verse 17. And it says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." The only thing that is absolutely 100% is God. His word. His word is truth. His word is truth. See, if a pastor can't tell you truth, if they can't point it out to you in the word, there's no truth. 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 Why are we preaching about truth tonight? I have no idea. There's many times where I'll preach about something and I'm going, God, we really need to talk about that? I think we're all good. He'll say, no, we're going to talk about it. Okay. You want to live your best life? Keep it real with yourself. Keep it so real with yourself that you know what? If you're right in the middle of slipping up, you can just say, hey, hold on just a second. I'm messing up right now, and I'm going to stop messing up. And you just get right back in the truth groove. Get right back in the groove where you know that God is happy with you, that he's pleased with you, that you're not in wrong. We can shut that off, sweetie. If you've joined in our live, I want to thank you for welcoming us into your home. Now, we are just about over. I always like to leave room for any type of prayer. Does anybody need any prayer? If you need prayer, if you'll raise your hand, I'm going to come and I'm going to pray. Who's got their hand raised? Did I? I thought so.